Welcome once again to Nova Gaia Love. I'm your guide, Dragonheart, and we are continuing our discussion today about listening to our guides. How do we listen? Well, we posed a couple activities and exercises for you in our last podcast. If you have any comments, please write them below. We'd love to hear how it worked for you. But now we're continuing into this discussion. The question was posed, how do we know the difference between our egos and what is a guide? And then it went even deeper about, what about those times when the voices don't stop? When the voices become overwhelming? Where they hit the point where you can't sleep at night? Where you find maybe a movie or an image running through your head over and over again? Where when you're asking for help, but it seems like noise, so much noise that it might even become like white sound, just static. Shh. Why am I describing this so well to you? Well, because I had those voices in my head. Because I have had the experiences of going down the rabbit hole of fear and listening to things that, well, ended up creating what I would say 20 years of colitis. Experiencing this unknown of what is right, what is source, what is creator, what is God, what is angels, what is here to help me, and what is here to separate me. I'm very fortunate in my life for many, many reasons, and one of them is that my aunts and uncles belong to every major religion. I have an uncle who is a true old school hippie, who ran into the forest or the woods and still can hear the animals speak, although he would not call himself a spiritualist in any way. He is. I have aunts who are into Greek Orthodox Church, Catholic Orthodox Churches. I have a wonderful uncle who is high up Mormon ranking. And I have a lovely, lovely aunt who is an evangelical channel. It was my aunt who is an evangelical channel who gave me my first lesson in discernment. And I have to admit, dear listener, when she first came to me and was trying to tell me that the angels had a message for me about discernment, I was very defensive. I'm not gonna lie. When she first tried to express that I can't put everything into one teacher, into one guru, into one human on this planet, that there is one human that knows everything, I didn't quite understand. And the voices in my head at that time were saying, don't listen to her. She's into this evangelical crazy stuff. I became very judgmental. And then this rabbit hole in my head started spinning quite deeply when she began to tell me or to understand what discernment was. She said, Rachel, I woke up this morning and the word discernment came to me and I couldn't wait to tell you. I couldn't wait to give this message to you that the angels brought to me. Here I am, an angelic healer. Here I am talking to angels all the time, and yet I almost refused her message. I couldn't hear her and I couldn't hear the guides. So she sat and she told me about discernment and how she did not want me to be caught up in any cults or any false beliefs, and that I shouldn't praise a human being as being the ultimate guide. She herself is very much into Jesus Christ, and so she blessed me with the blood of Christ on me and said that I could be forgiven for my sins and that all I needed to do was to choose Christ as my true light and my true conscious knowledge. Ironically, I was so offended, I closed her off. And the ironic part is that a few years later, I totally believe that. It's my interpretation of Christ, though, as the Christ consciousness, which is also Buddhist consciousness and Krishna's consciousness. I take the label off of it, but she was right. I was blocking a universal conscious truth. And I wasn't able to hear a true conscious message, because at that moment in time, I was wrapped up in one teacher. I was wrapped up in one voice that I thought was the bee's knees, that I thought was the only answer. And I had cut off myself from the answers of the universe, of the conscious knowledge, of that Christ consciousness. Now, just because her language was different than mine didn't mean she was wrong. What an awesome lesson of discernment. What an awesome, thank you, Aunt Susie. I don't think you'll ever listen to this, but hey, thank you, Aunt Susie, for teaching me discernment in a way that no one else could. So I learned how to turn off the voices. I consciously, through meditation, was able to stop fear. And it's not just turning off the news and turning off your social media. Yes, that helps tremendously, but it was a conscious choice that I chose not to go down the rabbit hole, and that I used discernment. Gita, you've got a beautiful giggle on your face. I know you're going to expand on what I'm saying. Could you please?
Absolutely. When you said, I am not going down the rabbit hole, it's so funny to me, because I have decided to go down the rabbit hole again and again and deeper and deeper and deeper. I decided to go down the rabbit hole of love. I decided to go to express how I can express more love for myself, for the world. Those were some of my, when I got into the metaphysical, those were some of my first insights, that it had to work, whatever works, it has to work for myself and it has to work for the universe. And I know all these voices of fear that we all have and that hold us back. I remember one night, and that was had enough trust to go with what I thought was the right thing to do, but I just had no discernment yet, really. And discernment was brought up to me very early on in my journey into the spiritual as well. And I think it's a huge, big word, and it's really, really important that you do what feels right. In one of our last podcasts, I think it was Kay who was talking about the North Star within ourselves. We are from love. We come from love. If we listen to that North Star within ourselves, there is just no way you can go into the fears, because that leads us straight to love. And so one night, I don't know, I was just doing some computer work, sitting in my, and you know, back then I was still living in my old house. And for some reason, my head was just so full of stuff and it wouldn't shut up. And oh man, you know, there was just meditation. Oh my God, no way I could, because I couldn't quiet anything in my head. And I was sitting in front of the computer and I remember moving back and starting to listen. Going back to listening. It was my first really truly exercise into just listening. And I listened to every thought consciously that came up, everything. It took about 3 hours before it ran empty. But in those 3 hours, oh my God, I heard the tonality, things that I forever thought were my own voices, and I still think they are, that conglomeration of all these voices that makes up who I am. But it was all these different voices and all these different inputs. And there was one thing that really hit me really big. I had this voice of this 2-year-old in me, throwing a temper tantrum, like, I wanna. And every single time after that voice came up within myself, there was a conglomerate of voices. It was not just one, it was several voices together. And they would just like hold that 2-year-old. And would just like softly just hold it and say, you have a right to want. Look at this, look at this, look at this. And it opened my eyes. Things that my 2-year-old didn't think it had, everything was there. It just was a different picture. Like when you think a spiritual way has to be a certain way, like, you know, I fully expected at one point when I got into this to hear the voices of the angels, to hear things that were distinguished from what I knew was me. Well, it never came, but it was always in me. That's what I recognized that night. So, you know, after it was empty to this day, and that's been now at least 6 or 7 years, I've never ever had my head anywhere close to full, because now I listen to it constantly. What is the thoughts that come up? What is my input that I'm getting into things? And it has helped me tremendously. So now meditation is not even an issue, you know, because my head is empty. I can drop into meditation in a heartbeat. I'm right there where you want me to be. But I also am always fully there, whatever it is, because there's just no resistance anymore. There's just that listening, that input, and as you put conscious love into it, going down that rabbit hole, and it's like, oh my God, how often I have said, oh, here I am going deeper into the rabbit hole. It's a rabbit hole of love. That's the deciding question in everything I do. How can I express more love to myself, to the world?
Yes, the rabbit hole of love instead of the rabbit hole of fear. That is Nova Gaia love energy. See, and I was going to say instead of the rabbit hole, black hole of going up into the love, but it doesn't matter. It's the same concept. She changed her perspective of fear to love. Angel, what do you think about discernment and these voices? I'm so blown away by the rabbit hole of love. I think I want to go explore it.
Definitely. I tell you, in this last year, you know, the pandemic lockdown year, I was drawn to start looking at Twitter, which is, to me, Twitter has been like where you get to be snarky, where you get to be your meaner self or say the things that maybe don't quite fit with the image you want the world to see. And I hadn't been active on Twitter at all, but I actually was feeling guided, pushed by spirit to pay attention. And so I started to look at things and be involved somewhat in what's going on in the world. And normally I don't pay much attention to what's going on around in the world because I live simply. I live small in a lot of ways. And here I was looking more at national issues, global issues, and conflict and disagreement and snarkiness, a lot of snarkiness, because you think you're funny, you think you're clever, just to rip other people apart or tear them down. And I would question and say, this is not about love. This is not about higher energies. Why am I being pulled to look at this and be aware of it? And the answer was that I needed to be aware of it so that I could, I'll say the words, put it into the grid for people who are healers at higher levels. You understand maybe some things about grid work and the awareness of taking in issues, problems of other people. Oh my gosh, I'm remembering a book I read years ago that where I learned about the sin eater. That in, I don't know, medieval time, sometime way, way, way in the past, in England, when someone died, you would have a sin eater come to eat their sins, to take their sins on themselves. Oh, I'm getting the chills now. Okay. Geez, I haven't thought of this book yet. I read it when I was like in high school. And they would eat your sins. And this young girl is traveling with an old woman, and the old woman dies. And she's like, oh my gosh, okay, I have to eat her sins. So she does whatever the ritual was of eating her sins. And in a way, that's what grid work is. You eat the sins, and then you don't keep them. You don't keep them, you don't hold on to them, you push them out, you send them out to the grid where the collective, where a bunch of different people and things beyond people, the energies beyond people, are working to provide that healing. But it was tempting to go down the rabbit hole, and it got exciting. Ooh, let me look on my phone again and again and again, and what's new and what's going on and who's going to be indicted and what's going to, yeah, just on and on with the garbage, really garbage. But I was eating it up, feeding myself this, but still fully aware that this is not who I want to be, to hold it in myself and keep it there. And it was very strange. And when it was over, it was over. Oh, okay, I'm done. It held on for a while, and I realized that I could replace let's go look at my phone to with the words, what am I supposed to be upset about today? What are we angry about today? What are we afraid of today? Let's look. Ooh, this is juicy. Oh, burn. Oh yeah, we're really dogpiling on this person or that. And I could feel that addictive aspect of it, that addiction to the energy, the excitement, and the meanness. Ooh. It was enticing, but it wore out. And I did make that conscious choice. I said, anything where I can say, what am I supposed to be upset about today? Let's go find out, is completely useless. Now, there are still times when I'm prompted, go take a look, and understanding that it's part of that grid work makes it make sense. But oh my gosh, it would have been so easy to go down one of those rabbit holes that's not love, to get tied into it more and more and more. And that was the choice, that was an option. But like that North Star, I had to stay true to myself. Thank goodness I know who I am and I know what I'm about. Thank goodness. Now, I'm kind of jumping the track a little bit. I think about some of the students I've had that have said, I see too much, I hear too much, I can't be around people because it's overwhelming, all the information coming in. How do I handle that? How do I deal with that? And I've had a couple different answers that I've given. It's funny, the first feeling is usually like, ooh, I wish I had that. Ooh, what a gift. I wish I had that ability. Wow. But when you actually meet the people who have that, it's not a gift to them. It's not a gift until they learn how to control it, how to make it not overwhelming. They've been avoiding social situations, avoiding going out in groups, avoiding getting close to people as their way of managing it by avoidance. And there's different things you can do instead. What you can do is accept that you are taking it in, like I did with Twitter, to let it pass through you and go to the grid, go to the greater for healing. It can't be healed until there's awareness. You are providing that awareness. Don't hold on to it. Be the conduit and move on. And just let it flow in and through you. That's it. Another thing is to speak with your guides and make requests, that it be mitigated to a level that you can be comfortable with. I'm being overwhelmed. Please make the adjustments to tune it down so I can live with this. Give me more clarity on what I am supposed to do. And again, a lot of times what you're supposed to do is let it flow through. Other times, you know, you're in the supermarket or you're taking a walk and you pass by somebody and you know you're there to tell them something. And you feel like a fool stepping up. Hi, you don't know me, but I'm just here to tell you that you don't know where you're going and don't know what you're doing right now, but once you find your focus, you are really going to make a difference that benefits the earth. I have stopped somebody in the park to tell her that. Another woman, she was walking, she had on her shirt, she was walking to work at Del Taco, and I had to stop her and tell her, hi, this might sound a little weird, but I'm here to let you know that you solve conflicts, that you make things calmer wherever you go. And the reason you find yourself in places where people are arguing or having trouble and clashing is because you bring calm and you help people tone it down and come to agreements. And you don't really even have to speak or say or do anything. There are times when you do, and that's fine. But just your presence, just your energy is very, very much about peace and peacemaking. Have a nice day. Bye. And that can be part of your role. But when it's constant, it can be overwhelming. What some people do is they set up office hours. You know, it's so much for them, like the sixth sense, you know, the little kid, I see dead people, where it's just, there's too much coming, too much coming. When you avoid it, it keeps trying to get in. When you work with it, it calms down. But you can be in control and say, okay, office hours. I am open for business Thursday afternoons. The rest of the time, leave me alone, unless it's something, you know, like speaking out to somebody that I'm really, really, really supposed to do, a message for a greater purpose, for the greater good. Otherwise, I'm out of it until Thursday afternoon, between this hour and this hour. Thank you.
That's awesome, Kay, because that goes to exactly what I was going to recommend as an exercise to you, dear leader, listener, excuse me. What she is talking about is an empath. What she is talking about is feeling all of the different emotions and chaos and stuff that's going on around you. And I know that, just like Kay said, and Gita even, that how cool of an experience does that sound like? What a great superpower. And you know what I say? Turn that shit off! No, it is not cool. It just makes you crazy. I mean, it makes you feel all of the pain and the guilt and the chaos of the world. Ah, no, that's not how we're supposed to live. And so to go along with Kay's concept of these open hours, which I love, is a little trick that I was taught. We actually do it in our meditations. Is called the silver bubble of love and light. And when you pull out of your heart, there you can make it as deep as or as easy as you want, but the concept is before you step into public, before you step into situations where you're hearing all the voices and feeling all of the baloney that's out there of people's own fears, is that you reach your hands on top of your head and you imagine as though you're placing a silver bubble of love and light around yourself. You are protecting your own aura. And we say that it's a silver bubble because we want it to reflect out with people so they can see and hear themselves. And it's a silver bubble, so it's like a two-way mirror. You still receive in love. It's kind of cool because it is back to the gridding pattern as well. You are gridding your own energy, gridding your own aura into a protection for yourself. Now, of course, you can elevate it by pulling in Mother Earth and Father Sky or asking Archangel Michael to bring a sword and cover you, or you just simply draw with your mind's eye a silver bubble. And you say, I am putting a bubble of love and light around me to allow in the love and happiness, but to reflect out what I do not need. Oh, any of you empaths that are listening, what an awesome, almost curse that you have. Because it is so cool, and yet you have to learn how to turn it off, how to not have it bombard you, but have it elevate you, just like Kay said, so that you can receive the messages that you are supposed to tell somebody, universal things. I myself went through a period where I went and told the butcher what his guides are yelling at me in the ears. And unfortunately for me, I ended up with people who did not want the messages. They did not want to hear this. I was called pretty bad names immediately because they were not ready to receive this information. So it is up to you, dear listener, and you have to feel within your heart, within that North Star, whether it's right to tell a random person a message or not, because sometimes they aren't ready for it, even though they need to hear it. And you can actually just look at a person. You were exactly right on for that person when their Del Taco shirt, they needed to feel outside love. They were requesting help. You know that there is a difference when people request for help and when you just have somebody that needs to hear how loved they are, but they're blocked and they're not ready. You can look at somebody and see, oh, they're really angry. Maybe I shouldn't say anything to them. Discernment, back to our discernment. Who needs this information and who doesn't? I know we're throwing a lot at you, dear listener, and I know it may be a lot to eat in concept, but we have given you a few simple things that you can do yourself. And the silver bubble is a real easy step. If you do meditation, you can check out my website, Way Chill Life. I have a free meditation called Father Earth, or Mother Earth, Father Sky, and it's an 8-minute on how to create that bubble into its strongest. But you also can just do it now and walk outside. And everybody that I've ever told to do this exercise, they've all come back in one way or another and said, oh no, it works. I can put this bubble up, and when I want to listen, I don't put it up. Eating the fears of other people, feeling their pain is important, but it is not healthy on your body to keep it. And we talked earlier, I believe it was Gita one of us said how we need to make sure that we give it back to the universe. I call that universal recycling. Recycle the energy of fear. Turn it into love. Let the universe do what it does best. Recycle. It knows how to use energy, and it will always take whatever it is that we can't handle into something that we can handle, and it will take anger, fear, frustration, and turn it into the highest love. Faye, do you have any closing thoughts about this for us?
Yeah, you just brought up something that I've been kind of mulling around in my head for a while. That simplicity, put love into fear. Just put love into the fear. Just don't resist it. It's energy. Everything is energy, and energy just needs to flow. So love is the flow. So just put love into it and see what it does. Just experiment. Just kind of play with it. Have fun, enjoy, and just look at what it does.
And that, dear listener, is our closing. Just find the love from within. It is unlimited. It is flowing to you freely. Choose that perspective. Turn your rabbit hole of fear into a rabbit hole of compassion. A rabbit hole of tolerance, a rabbit hole of love. Thank you for joining us today. We know that you are love, and we love you, and we are so happy that you are here with us. As always, you can find us at novagayalove.com.